Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
It is time, and that means CY is here, the big Clinton Yates, Shinano is here.
Hello.
Shinano, where are you?
I just got home.
Okay.
I was on a flight from Philly and just got back, landed around like 2:30 or so, and then wasn't going to make it on the 10 to the station.
Yeah, no way. I've done that.
By the time I landed, because as you know, just because you land doesn't mean you get to the gate, then you got to get your stuff. And you got to get to the car, so I probably wouldn't have made it till 4:30 by the time it was.
Okay, so for people who don't know, George worked the sidelines last night of the most talked about game of the night.
Oh my god!
Which was the Philadelphia 76ers being eliminated by the Miami Heat.
Okay.
Stephen A. after the game, Sedano basically suggested that James Harden was trying to get Doc Rivers fired.
Right.
He didn't mince words about it at all. This morning, Daryl Morey came out, said, Doc's our coach. He's going to be here. We have not heard anything from Doc.
I wasn't there for the post game because, as you know, we leave right after the game. I'm done interviewing Jimmy. But I did see the quotes and then saw the video. And I would suggest that maybe James Harden was trying to get Doc fired. I don't know if that's the case. But it did sure as hell sound like Doc was trying to get himself fired.
What do you mean?
By sitting there and saying that he's done nothing wrong.
Go
and
write something about here's.
Yeah, here's what George is talking about. He after the game was asked about his job security, and here's what he said.
Have you thought about job security?
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it, because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
George, do you think that Doc might just plain walk away, forget about getting let go?
He wants his money.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, there are other people that might consider Glenn Rivers a decent head coach for their team.
Well, when one of them might be across the street. Sedano.
Wait. And then he also said, just so you know, that then he just ripped the team roster construction apart.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, he like completely eviscerated the roster construction. They don't have enough talent and this and that and the other. Like, he was going full-fledged. It was awesome.
What do you think, George, happened with Harden? 22 minutes in the second half, he took two shots. I don't care if he goes 0 for 12, but 0 for 2, I don't know what he's thinking. What do you think?
I think he went full James Harden, right? Like, we've seen this. He did this in an elimination game against the Spurs back in, like, 2018 or whatever it was, when Kawhi was in street clothes and they lost by, like, 30-something points. So there's that. And here's what I'll tell you, John, just from talking to – look, I mean, I did the game with Hubie Brown yesterday. You know, there's a lot of NBA people there, players alike, former players, et cetera, et cetera. Even Joel Embiid said as much in nicer terms when he was asked about Harden. He said – you know, everyone expects him to be the Houston Harden. He's just not that player anymore. And he's not. Tim Legler did an amazing, telestration is what they call it.
Right, I saw it. It was great.
Yeah, where he can't beat anybody off the dribble anymore. Like, he's just, his body has betrayed him, because it's not like he's treated it like a temple or anything over the last, you know, 15 years.
Okay, so you guys, this lends itself, Mason and I were talking about this earlier. If you're Philly, what do you do about Harden? He has a $47 million player option next year.
Oh, this is great.
George, I make you GM. You're Daryl Morey for a day. What do you do?
I don't pay him, but Daryl's in an interesting conundrum, because Daryl Morey obviously was his GM in Houston. Daryl Morey traded Andre Drummond, Seth Curry, and two first-round picks for him.
And Ben Simmons, oh, by the way.
And Ben Simmons.
He's
right,
head also. Over heels in love with him, yes.
Right, and then at the MIT Sloan Conference, which should basically just be called the Morey Conference, it's the analytics conference in sports every year in Boston, he came out in a sports coat and a shirt that was a Harden meme, and then he called him his basketball Jesus in front of an entire crowd of people. So, you know, if I'm James Harden, who doesn't have an agent, he agents himself, I would be like, hey, what, you don't want to give me the full max? I thought I was your basketball Jesus. So he's in a really tough spot, because Doc doesn't want him, it sounds like.
Doesn't sound like Embiid's crazy about him.
Correct. And honestly, I don't think Tyrese Maxey loves him either. They're in a tough spot.
Yeah. Clinton, what would you do?
I would get rid of James Harden. Flatly. Yes.
Just trade him any way you can.
Get rid of him off your roster, but that's a difficult thing from a personal standpoint because Morey loves him. And I don't just mean I'm not saying that facetiously, but he's mortgaged like half of his professional career for the sake of James Harden. Like at some point you've got to admit this didn't work and you've got to take a pick, George. You pick somebody. You can pick any one of those people. You can pick Doc, you can pick Embiid, you can pick any other player, Maxi, but you can't pick Harden and expect yourself to be in a position to win an NBA title. I think James has to go.
Okay, I have a question. What part of California is Ojai in?
Central.
Where?
Central California. Ojai.
Wikipedia?
I don't know where that is.
Southern California city.
Yeah, Wikipedia. If you're relying on Wikipedia.
Ojai, California. Located in Ventura County. Ojai is located in Southern California.
Ventura County gets you some... Get some points for your argument.
Yep.
I forgot it was in Ventura County.
Is this an old bit? Did I miss
he got eliminated from a game.
Oh, you lost on that. Because I said, Ojai, they said that's not Southern California. It's Southern California. I've been there. It is.
Which is the horizontal one, longitude or latitude?
Latitude.
Longitude is the vertical one.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So latitude
is east-west.
East-west. Okay. Ojai is only a little further north than where Santa Clarita is, if you're looking at it horizontally.
Okay.
Yep.
Fun fact.
Well, yep.
You just would have screwed up on the next one.
Protest.
Phoenix and Atlanta.
Under protest.
Phoenix and Atlanta are on the same latitude. Fun fact.
Really?
Wow. Phoenix and Atlanta?
That's why I call Phoenix White Atlanta. That's a separate story.
Oh, that's
a little tease for what's coming up.
It's very funny. When Cappy's not here, who's – are you relying on to bring the funny? Like, is CY going to be the funny one?
Oh, CY.
Is Shidano going to be the funny one?
CY is full of personality.
Oh,
okay?
I'm not questioning that.
But also, George,
but
I was also in the building yesterday. So we've got updates from yesterday that I've got to fill Shidano in on. There was a lot of things that happened on air. A lot of things that happened on the side.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
In terms
I'm
of
sure
all the,
Cappy was somewhat of an embarrassment.
No,
so.
No.
He was overdressed. He looked good.
No.
He wore a suit. I think he had cufflinks on.
On his best behavior, and he brought his son, Justin, who was also on his best behavior. It was an A-plus effort out of him.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine growing up with Cappy as your dad?
No, I can't. Oh. And you want to be a kicker? Yes, Dad. I would love to be a kicker. He's a pretty good kicker, though.
No, we had fun yesterday, though, Shidano. It was the Super Bowl trophy. You can't believe just being in the room with the trophy itself is like,
Well, we were at the draft house. We saw it at the draft house.
I was going to say, it's got like a gravitational pull. Like, everybody gets pulled. We were like so incidental to what was going on there. Everybody going
literally,
to the trophy.
We're on the side.
On the side.
While the stage was where the Lombardi trophy was. Yeah. Completely moved the entire setup of the broadcast just for the sake of looking at the trophy.
I totally get it. Now, let me ask you this, Mace, in Ireland. And I don't know if CY, you were listening to this earlier. But you guys did a bit earlier asking if you would not listen to music for a year or listen to the song you hated the most.
Correct.
For, over and over and over again.
On a loop.
Basic.
What are those choices? Okay.
Now, I heard all your songs.
Yes.
Okay, because I was listening on the app on my flight. And there is no question that one of you has by far the most annoying song.
Thanks, Susanna.
I thought it was Bergman. Hearing all four was Bergman.
Is Greg Bergman.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Worst song ever.
Mine's annoying, but Bergman's was like
Barbie Girl.
Painful.
By Aqua is the worst song in the history of music.
You're a hater.
Barbie.
You
what?
Like it?
No way, Clinton. You can't like that song.
Little Danish duo.
Listen, we can get into the discussion about why that song isn't in the movie. In one of the greatest rulings in California appellate state history, in which the judge said, when they sued each other for various defamation points and they went through all the stuff and the judge wrote this whole thing about the cultural importance of Barbie and all this stuff. And he said his ruling was the two parties need to chill. That's what exactly what he wrote as a judge. So I like that song because of its cultural relevance. It's definitely a terrible song, though.
No. But that's
great
a cool
video,
story.
Though. Great video.
Cool story.
A billion views, by the way.
Does not make it less annoying.
Great video.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember the
video.
What
about for you, Clinton? Most annoying song.
Nicki Minaj, Starships comes to mind. A very similar sounding song.
Yes.
In the same world. Like, right. I feel like I'd hear it at Charles Entertainment Cheese a lot. You know?
Shadana, what about you?
Oh, man. My Humps by Black Eyed Peas. I hated that
See,
song.
See, I had a Black Eyed Peas song, too. I find the Black Eyed Peas, they're earworms and they stick in your head, but yeah. I'm not a Black Eyed Peas fan.
This is Starships. I don't find this song all that annoying.
If you were covering a baseball team every day the year this came out, oh, my God.
And they just played it ad nauseum.
Over and over and over. And I didn't even realize, I didn't know who this song was by the first 6 months that I heard it, because I'd sort of tuned it out. Then I was like, oh, my goodness. Nicki Minaj has made her way into my brain. Yeah.
I've got a better one actually for the for the Southern California audience.
Okay.
Yo, my the Disco
kinda
Duck goes, though. By Rick Dees.
No, Some I front. Actually
kind of
like
my Disco terrible goes. Song.
Disco Duck by Rick Dees made him a ton of money.
Yeah. I know, but it's
we
still
used
a
to
terrible
work,
song.
Mason and I used to work on the same floor as Rick Dees over in
so
the
So did
old...
I. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so and Rick would walk by all the time, and we were convinced, and we'd see him every day. He didn't know which one of us was Mason and which one of us was Ireland.
That's a great bit.
Yeah, he would just walk, hey guys.
He knew Mason,
Ireland.
He knew there was a guy named Steve, and he knew there was a guy named John. So every
right.
time he
Steve
walked by one of us,
Steve and John.
You were a tandem, okay. always.
And this just, is, no, it was just, like, I would walk down the hall, and he'd say to me, hey, Steve and John. Right.
And then there was a double finger gun
okay.
there.
So,
those who don't
so
know.
Then
now Rick Dees, I believe, also looked like Shooter McGavin in
yes,
Happy
that's
Gilmore's
exactly
video.
What he was doing.
Yeah, right. yeah.
Big so, time Shooter McGavin.
True story. In the construct of that old building over in Burbank,
okay,
Mason and I were in an air studio, and immediately across from the door when we left our air studio was Rick Dees's private bathroom. Okay.
Wow.
Now, for Mason and I, we would have to walk out of, kind of like what you have to do here, out of the main building, down a hall, three to the left side.
Over the river and through the woods.
Right. And but Rick would never let anyone else use the bathroom
nope.
except for Ellen. Ellen Kay, who was married to the GM, who was married to Roy Laughlin, could use the bathroom. And so Mason and I would be running out of the studio, and they'd be walking literally right outside our
yep.
door. Hey, guys, how you doing? They'd shut the door, lock it. We'd run down the hall.
You guys are doing shuttle runs like you're in Indianapolis.
It was like here. Yeah. It
wow.
was like super weird.
That's tough.
The Disco Duck is a terrible song.
That
Sorry,
is an
Rick.
Awful song.
Laura's doing a great job, by the way, pulling all those up
yeah.
real quickly. Just want to say, I just want to say, My Humps is well,
better
here,
than I thought
that,
it was.
Listen. It's a great play call in the red zone.
Yeah.
All right? When the things are going down and you might want to approach, My Humps comes on, you can reasonably approach and not make a scene out of yourself. It's not like, oh, I think I'm the man. It's not like a Return of the Mac kind of situation. It's not some other song where you're like, I'm doing too much. My Humps is like, all right, I'm going to go talk to
are
that
the,
person that I wanted to talk to.
Oh, the Black Eyed Peas still together?
No, I think Fergie left the Black Eyed Peas.
Sure. Well, she got married and had kids.
She did like what Gloria Estefan did to the Miami Sound Machine in the 80s. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, see just, a sound machine.
Yeah, they're just like Gloria. After
they're
that.
Not a relic, but they are an act of the past.
Yeah.
For sure.
Makes me, you know, that song made me think, I haven't gone out dancing in a long time.
Where do you go dancing?
Oh, tonight's your night.
What kind of place do you go dancing?
Mace, me and you, Abby, tonight. Let's go.
Abby's not really a dance club.
Oh, I danced last time I was there.
No.
Lisa
no,
told me to didn't. Get off that table.
Hey, man, you've been to the Abbey. It's not a dance club.
No, it's not. The Abbey is you go chill. I mean, you might get a little too drunk and
that was me.
Out, but then it's not a dance
club. That was me.
They changed all the bars there since I used to go.
Yeah, it's
if
different.
You go out dancing somewhere on any night of any week,
DTF.
School night, hit me up. Right.
DTF.
I'll be there. Oh,
yo.
He just hit a little body
well,
roll.
You know, yo.
Mace
yeah,
just hit a little
he's
body
got the
roll.
Overbite. He's got the overbite going.
I actually really did have the overbite.
Yeah. All right.
I'm down. So I will be
downtown
there no matter
Fullerton,
what.
Man.
All right. All right.
And drunken golf next week, right?
Listen, it's Top Golf. You called it pot golf on the air yesterday.
Pot golf!
Do what you want. Bring
Love
whatever
that.
You like. We'll be in El Segundo. Greg
that,
and I will be there.
That is a fabulous facility. It's right around
there?
The corner from where I live. It's very
George, how could you fall into that hole so easily? Come on.
I mean, I'm just asking.
It's the oldest joke in the book. you know. But I'm joking. Yes, my wallet will be there because I plan on paying. Greg didn't know that until just now.
Oh,
by the way, you don't know what you just committed
to. No, you told me yesterday it's pretty pricey, but hi, I'm television's Clinton Yates, so we
there
can
you go.
There you go.
It works out. Good for you.
All right, hey, we're back Monday at 1 o'clock, and coming up next is a whole bunch of stupidity, and George will also get to that Lakers thing.
There's a lot of Lakers things coming up to get to.
All right, everybody have a good weekend. See you Monday, 7:10 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll fill in. I'm here. We did it. I pressed the flesh with Scott Kaplan yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody was in the building. Justin Kaplan was there as well. That young man is doing very well in the My Dad's a Kicker, Now I'm a Kicker streets. We had a lot going on in the building, George. It kind of felt like one of those things where somebody has a party, but you've got to go out of town with your parents on some weird family trip, and you're the one that did that, and we all had the sweetest sleep over the year. One of those
deals.
Did
you guys clean up the house after, you know, before I came back?
Absolutely not, but that's what this show is for. But no, it was a good time, and the Lombardi Trophy was there. And again, we were talking about this in Crosstalk. Scott showed well, George. Scott showed well. He looked great.
Good.
Everything was going well. It was a fantastic experience. I'm glad I went.
As long as he didn't talk about the third tight end yesterday, I'm fine.
Oh, no. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? I was regaling him with my tales of being at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh.
And DeMarco was there. So it was fun. The vibe was very good. Laura, am I wrong? You could hear it on the other side of the glass. I'm asking you, what did it sound like from here?
It sounded amazing, and I was very upset I was not there.
Oh, good. Well, that's great to hear, then.
It was a good time.
You know if someone's mad that they're not there is because it sounds real good.
It was
now. I wanted to start the show talking about baseball because we're going to talk a lot about basketball. And we just talked basketball with Mason in Ireland mostly and music. But there's this story that Michael Funches is in for Lindsay today, brought to my attention, CY. And I feel like this is totally something that either you're going to be 1,000% in on or you're going to completely poo-poo, right? Like, I don't believe there is anywhere in between on this particular subject matter when it comes to you. Because it involves baseball, okay? So right away, I feel like I've got you hooked. Is that fair?
Yes. I'm on the hook. I might get off, but let me know. What are we doing?
All right. So before we get to the bad news with the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw, let's have some fun with this.
Sure.
The Dodgers are hosting their first ever adult baseball camp. Are you in?
Oh, fantasy camp is what I live for.
Right.
George, are you kidding me? We're going straight to the next step here, which is who are the instructors? I need to know who's involved.
I'll give you a list, Lynn.
Go for it. Tell us.
Let me know.
Nomar Garciaparra.
Oh, number five. Let's go.
Andre Ethier.
Okay.
Manny Mota.
All right.
Steve Yeager. Jerry Harrison Jr. And Eric Gagne.
Jay Hayes there?
I'm in.
I love Jerry Harrison. Great head of hair. Dresses very well on television.
He does. Yes.
Leans on the bat.
Friend of the program, by the way.
Friend of the program. Yeah. A very, very high-ranking member of base running Twitter. He talks about base running a lot. And I love talking about him. I'm all in on fantasy camp, 10,000%.
Okay, now do you want to know what the price is? Because that could potentially, you know, I don't know if it's a hurdle. And now you are television's Clinton Yates, right?
So yes. And also, of course, an emissary, the president of the local chapter of the Handsome Man community. So
correct.
Prices are, you know, fungible, but, you know, what is the price?
$3,900.
Wow. I thought you were going to say 5K. Not going to lie.
It's actually not, I don't think, you know, now, Fungi, how many days is this? It's like, oh, is it
3 days.
Three days.
Okay.
Wow.
Is it
are there snacks included?
Is it like all inclusive?
All your meals are included in your very own Dodger uniform.
Juice box?
You know? You keep the uniform?
You keep the uniform. It's yours.
Bring your own glove. Bring your own bat. Keep the uniform.
I'm pretty sure you bring your own glove and bat. But yeah, uniform is yours.
I would 3900 CY.
I would say, George, at that price, you got to throw in a bat for everybody who shows up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, come on. Dole out some lumber. Give some things to people that they don't have that they can take home. The uniforms are one thing. They can buy those in the store. The lumber you're not going to get. Maybe personalize a couple. I'm thinking that because I've been in Louisville recently and I've seen a lot of bats factories. But I love this idea. Why don't we do a remote from there? What's going on? What's happening?
Let's do this. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
I'd be
I feel like there's a bit here, too. Like, we videotape you at the fantasy camp. You with Nomar.
Yeah.
You know.
Taking ground balls.
Yeah.
Turning double plays, little footwork. Yeah. A lot of that. Yeah.
Shagging fly balls out there with Ethier.
George, you know? Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
I played baseball competitively for a decent amount of my life, pretty large amount of time. I played exactly zero pitches on the outfield.
Wow.
I cannot track a fly ball to save my life. You want to hit it at me off the bat, buck 14, I can pick it up. I can get it across the diamond. I cannot track a fly ball.
Okay.
It just doesn't happen.
So basically, you're going to have to work with Nomar and Jay Hare is basically what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I love this.
Because I felt like this right away was totally up your alley.
Yeah, no, for sure. I remember back when I was a kid and, like, you know, when I was in D.C. when they didn't have a baseball team, the O's used to have this. And friends of my dad used to go. And it'd be, you know, old
farts. An adult camp.
An adult camp. They called it a fantasy camp because it was, you know, basically old guys that wanted to drink beer and smoke cigars with their friends who had enough money to afford this kind of nonsense. But not every team has that. They would do it in the first week before spring training, typically.
Yeah.
And I always thought to myself, like, man, maybe I can root for a team that's got a fantasy camp. The Nats don't have one, but the Dodgers having one, I'd go there. Jay Hare, if you're listening to me, please hit your boy up with an invite.
There we go. It's in. We're done. We're in. I feel like that we got to get the social team involved. We got to get you in a uniform.
I'll be there.
I mean, I feel like you in Dodger whites. I mean that I feel like it's going to be. I mean, the handsome man society. that needs to be one of the photos that's included in the portfolio
in the brochure. Yeah, absolutely. So
absolutely,
I'm
no
completely
doubt.
Down.
Now, are we going with high socks, Clinton?
Oh,
what kind of question is that? That's obvious.
Yeah,
obvious. Yeah. All right, we're going full everything. You know, I'm wearing high socks right now, and I'm not even playing baseball. Like legit. It's amazing.
Mason has just texted. He's strictly a DH.
DH?
Yeah.
What is he? Is he does Mason?
That
bat?
Means he can't play anything.
No, but does he bat right or left? Is the question.
Oh, I feel like he's a righty.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong about that.
I bat right, but I can bunt left.
Oh,
one of those. I can get one down from the left side.
Yeah. Okay. You know? All right. What does the batting stance look like?
Probably Gary Sheffield was the guy that I most.
No way. With all that crazy bat movement with the wrist flicking.
Listen, I didn't do the flicking, but I did a circular motion as a timing mechanism.
Like a Don Baylor?
Sort of like Don, you know. Yeah. Wow. Don Baylor.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a good pull, right?
Yeah. Great pull. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen me on television, you've seen me twirling a pencil.
Yeah.
It's a similar sort of situation. I would twirl it just to get the timing right, and then clutch, swing, let's go.
Yeah, former Angel Don Baylor, of course, amongst many teams that he played.
Groove was his nickname.
Yeah. Mace says he used to be a switch hitter.
Okay.
I'll let that one just
I'm going to leave that right there.
Yeah, we're going to leave that one right there. I don't know if he was meaning that as a joke or if he was meaning that.
Funch is falling over himself in the other room right now.
I mean, because at one point, he literally has told us he was a switch hitter. You know what I'm saying?
From what I understand.
Pretending to be someone else that he wasn't.
From what I understand, that is a valuable skill in the community.
Oh, there's no question, yeah. Now, let's get to the actual Dodgers scenario. Clayton Kershaw's on the IL. I don't know about you, but I feel like you've heard me say this before. The biggest predictor of future injury is past injury.
Sure.
And we're at the point where the man's only thrown 85 pitches and he's hurt again. And I am now not only worried about him, CY, I'm worried about this rotation because even Julio Urias has not necessarily looked great in every single outing that he's been out there, okay?
Right.
Now, I feel like the rest of the rotation has looked better than I anticipated. The Haneys of the world, the Gonsolins of the world. But they've now lost, I believe, 3 out of 4. Kershaw is on the IL. And I think this is a fair thing to say, and I know it sucks because I have defended Clayton Kershaw at every turn, okay?
All right.
But I can still also be objective and say I don't know if you can deem Clayton Kershaw dependable anymore.
I don't think that going into this season, the expectation of Kershaw was to be dependable. I thought, you know, you're going to get, I don't know, let's say, how many starts did you think you were going to get out of Kershaw this season? I was in the
20-ish
15
range?
To 20 range.
Yeah, I was like in the low 20s.
Personally. You know? But yeah. What I didn't think, I did not think that the IR hit, that, you know, he takes a little bit of a summer break, even though I understand that the baseball season is basically during summer. I didn't think it was going to come this early, George. I thought he might be able to get to the All-Star break, and then we take a 6-week off, you know, one of these inflammation situations. He's taken a break every year, basically, that he's been effective for the Dodgers in the last 5 years. I didn't think it was going to come this early, and that's what concerns me. The rotation, I think, will work itself out for this reason. They got a gazillion guys on the staff, and the way that they run their staff, it's just – it's not as dependent on starters as a lot of other teams, and they've got enough arm talent that I think they can work through it. Last night's game aside, fantastic comeback, by the way, even though they didn't win. But the Kershaw issue, basically my concern is that he's not going to be able to end on his own terms, Sedano.
Right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And that's yep. actually how I look at this the most, because I don't know that you're going to hand that guy the ball in the playoffs in a big spot. I don't know that you're going to be worried about – I don't know, you know, whatever goals he wants to achieve, he's already achieved. The question is, what can he do right now for this team? And if he can't take the field and he can't throw, how do you what is the transfer of power in terms of who he is? And that's tough for me, because I know the relationship between him and Doc is so important. I just really hope that he doesn't have to walk away in a way that makes him feel bad about the fact that he chose to come back at all for that 1 year deal.
Yeah, look, I just think that if you're the Dodgers, you know, you're just going to have to realize, to your point, Clinton, that this is not going to be something that you're going to be able to – someone no. you're going to be able to count on,
no.
right? Like, that's just it. Like, you know, whatever you get out of him is gravy, I think, is the best way to describe it.
I agree. And, you know, it'll be a nice – I don't want to – you know, winning time, if you guys watch the –
I have. I've
season
seen
finale
all 10 episodes.
Winning time. Yeah. My man describes the concept of the swan song.
Yeah.
We might be in that point for Clayton
yeah.
Kershaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to mention Zastro.
No, everybody episode. At this station is obsessed with Zastro. All right,
I mean,
I know a million guys who are in my own family who are just like Zastro. All right, I don't need some mythical character to make me feel good about that person. Anyway,
you had Uncle Zastro
yes!
somewhere in your house.
Man, drove a cab. Just drive me to baseball practice all the time. Anyway,
all right. I am curious to hear how people, because speaking of dependable. I think Clayton Kershaw is in the discussion now for, like, least dependable superstar athlete, but I think there is one person that trumps him on the current landscape. We'll get to who that is coming up next. It's Sedano and Cap. CY in for Cap here on 710 ESPN. Back in 2 minutes. Oh, great song.
Oh.
Now, do you subscribe to our pal Bomani Jones's theory that Stevie can see more than he lets on?
Yeah, but I also don't think that that's as controversial as people think. If you've ever actually been in the same room with Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder's senses are tremendous, and whether or not he can see you or not, he certainly knows.
Are you trying to say like he's Daredevil or something? Like he has like heightened sense?
Bro, man, you know how it works as a human.
Daredevil,
if one sense goes away, the others are heightened. This
yep.
is a real thing, all right?
Yes.
I know
science.
This because I've been in a room with him, and that room was a dining room in a restaurant. And I walked in, never forget this, this is the bar I used to hang out at back when I was in D.C., and the owner, I was walking home. I wasn't even in the place. Guy runs out of the bar. He goes, yo, Yates, Stevie Wonder's in here. I'm like, why are you telling me that? He goes, just come in. So I walk in, and I look at him, Stevie that is, and I'm just sort of staring, and he's 50 feet away. I could throw a baseball to him, but it would require a throw. And I started saying something. Mans looks right in my face, turns. And I was like, how did he know I was talking about him? Because he could not see me, nor is my voice loud enough. I'm telling you, man, the force is strong. Stevie's got it.
Well, there's a video online. And I remember, you know, back in the day when I did the morning show with Key and LZ, they
yeah.
got really, really mad when I brought this up. And then I showed them the video, and they still didn't want to believe it. And he was at some event. It was like, it looked like some sort of collaboration event where there's a bunch of performers on the stage.
Okay.
and the microphone stand got bumped. And he caught it with one hand without even moving, without even like looking in any other direction. Like he kept looking straight forward,
no
doing
look.
His thing, just stuck out his right hand or left hand or whatever it was and just caught it and then brought it right back up to center. And I'm like, what is going on here? So watch. I have the video here.
Okay. You're going to post it? Are you going to put it in the community?
Yeah. It's a TMZ link. I'm going to send it. In the Sedano and Cab community. So if you need an incentive to go into the Sedano and Cab community,
now
this is
got
exactly
it.
The time to do this, okay?
Listen, I look, blind, legally blind versus I can't see anything are two completely different things. Do I think Stevie can see a couple things? Yeah. But do I think Stevie's other senses are, I don't want to say abnormally, but big time heightened as a result of him being a genius musician with a brain for ear skill to begin with? Yes. Number two, he's been famous for, three quarters of his life. This guy knows what's going on. End of story. You're posting it now?
I think I just posted it. I thought I did. Hold on. It's not in there. I don't see it. Let me try it again.
Stevie, by the way, also my older sister, Dr. Kim Yates's favorite artist. Not close. She's got all the records, all the everything. And I'm talking vinyl LP. Isn't she lovely?
It just hit, by the way.
All right.
So it's in the Sedano and Cap community. Search for Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. If you're not in there, you're really missing out on all the nonsense and shenanigans that we do every day.
Headline, is Stevie Wonder not really blind?
Not really blind.
Two question marks.
Yes.
Also, I must point out that people still can't find us in the community. Me and Greg were talking about that. He tried to give
us. Well, Twitter's got like this weird thing where not everybody can get to the community.
So
I don't know what the hell to do.
We just got to let people know because they feel like they're blocked. And it's like, no, we don't have nothing
to do. No, nobody's blocked.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, that's a Twitter thing. And, Elon apparently doesn't have enough money now for Twitter. Like,
he lied to us. Your boy. Mr. Musk.
Again, this is why I don't trust this cat. You know what I mean? Like, he's out there. He basically sold, like, $10 billion worth of stock because he was trying to buy Twitter. And all of a sudden, it's like, oops, oh, sorry, don't actually have the cash. Just going to take my $10 billion of stock. And nobody's going to question it. Right? No. Like, that's not shady.
I mean, the guy, listen, I don't want to get into a whole discussion, but where he's from, people like him, where he's from, operate a certain way. I know that.
Yeah.
For various reasons that have to do with my family and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
You don't trust these guys.
That's what I'm saying. So anyway, so it's in the Sedano Cap community, the Circle of Trust. If not, just Google is Stevie Wonder really.
Okay,
Stevie...
I just watched this. This is, first of all, okay. So
have you ever seen this?
I have seen this. I have seen this, but I play a game on the internet called Snag, Grab, or Stab when somebody makes a nice catch. This is none of those things. This is neither a snag, nor a grab, nor a stab from Stevie. I don't. This does not actually help the is he not blind.
Oh, I disagree. I think that at the very least.
You can hear that because he McCartney. Okay, McCartney goes by on the fly route.
Right.
And
he does. Knocks over the stand.
Knocks over the stand. There's no chance he didn't hear that. No chance. That's what I'm saying.
I'm looking at it one more time. Here comes McCartney skipping along.
Right,
hits his head on the microphone, and then he just—it's a snag. He just throws his left hand out.
It's a snag for you, snag, grab, or stab.
To me, that's a snag.
Yeah, this is a grab for me.
Yeah,
but I don't think this is not that like revelatory. Excuse me, Scott used that word yesterday, and it was really good.
Why? Because I used the word.
I know, but
I'm
saying he actually nailed it 2 days ago.
Oh wow, good for him.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
This is revelatory. And I think that it has everything to do with Paul McCartney.
Okay, fair enough.
Doesn't know how to run his routes.
He does not. Definitely does not.
You know, that's something we do well.
Yeah.
I'm Sean McVay.
Stop it.
I'm done.
So anyway.
I'm killing that, by the way, immediately. I can't do it anymore.
It's done. It's over. It's definitely done.
It's worn out. It's welcome. It's over.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, save it for next year. You know
sure.
what I mean? Like, it's
sure.
the off season. You need an off season too. Even the fake Sean McVay needs an off season.
Exactly.
So, anyway, all right. So I mentioned earlier, is Clayton Kershaw dependable? And we've kind of both come to the conclusion that probably not, right? Like, it's fair to say. Now, I asked them the question, is he the least dependable star in sports? And I would say that despite the 5 years of injuries, I'd say at least he's not dependable, but it's not his fault, okay?
All right.
It's just his body betraying him in a lot of ways. Now, James Harden, on the other hand, That dude, and I got to witness that thing up close and personal yesterday, okay?
We need to talk about this.
I was right there for all of this. And all I will tell you is there were a lot of people in that house, okay, in Philly, watching this game, both on his team, both former players, also just league people, let's just call them, that were sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening to this dude again, that he is going through this. This man just looked disinterested in the game yesterday. Like, I don't know what is happening there. Maybe he does want to get Doc Rivers fired. Maybe he is annoyed about a multitude of things. Or maybe, you know what, Clinton? Maybe he just chokes.
I'm going to use a term that is probably not, like, there's nothing foul about it. There's nothing I'm going to say that anybody has to dump. But you're going to understand conceptually what I'm saying. Sometimes when people get to a certain age and they've done a fair amount of things in their life and you see them and somebody else says, oh, what happened to that person? And somebody says they let themselves go.
Right.
That's where Harden is. Oh, he let himself go. The discipline in whatever he was doing with his life to be the basketball player he once was.
That's gone.
Has either departed or atrophied. Right. And it's just not there. He's not the guy. Let himself go. It's unfortunate.
And by the way, even when he was that guy, these moments were still creeping up all the time.
Yeah. I mean, if he goes back to the college, you know, reunion, the 15-year reunion, you think, oh, look at James. Let himself go. It's a one of those situations. And it's too bad because your boy Morey loved him. And I think he loved him right at the point where, like, okay, you want to marry him, but you're not going to get the same part of the – you know what I mean? Like, you're not getting the same version. Yeah. Everybody knows that. You can have him forever, but you're only getting that person. You're not getting the person beforehand.
I mean, we always do this thing where, oh, my God, player X is the worst contract ever. I mean, we did it not that long ago to Chris Paul, and he's been pretty damn good. Which, by the way, I do want to get to some Chris Paul stuff here in a minute, too.
Okay.
But this thing – the difference between, like, Chris Paul – and, like, James Harden is, to your point, is Chris Paul's not let himself go.
Not remotely.
Chris Paul has had injury issues. Again, Chris Paul and Clayton Kershaw, to me, have a lot in common.
Okay, there's some parallels there for you?
No question about it. Now, Clayton's gotten over that championship hump, but...
That Chris hasn't, yeah.
Correct, but very similar. They are maniacs, okay, about what they do for a living. It's funny, like, you know, I've done some games recently with J.J. Redick, and he told me stories about how he'd come over to Chris's house to watch games, and he'd be on the couch, and Chris would be on the massage table with his masseuse, like, you know, working with him. And then the guy would, then they'd stretch him. And, like, you know, J.J.'s hanging out, you know, having a cocktail and watching the game. And Chris is, like, doing all his workout stuff to keep his body right. Like, he's a maniac all day, every day. And I feel like Clayton Kershaw's kind of like that, too. He's a maniac. But James Harden is really in a tough spot because I don't know. You say he's let himself go.
Yeah.
But in some cases, when you let yourself go, you can perhaps bring that back a little bit.
There's a freedom in letting yourself go that doesn't seem to be there.
But I don't know if that's the case with him. Like, I think James Harden may be washed. The James Harden we knew, it might be washed.
Not coming back.
Right.
Like, even if, I don't know, let's just say he went to, like, some team where he literally could shoot 50 times a game. You don't think he'd score 30 points a game?
Oh, I mean, if he shot how many again?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, if he went to...
Yeah, if he shot some sort of crazy inefficient... Yeah, if he went back to the Houston Rockets, who's like a, you know, 19-win team or whatever,
right,
and they gave him 40 shots a game...
No, but I'm saying, do you think the skill's not there, or do you think the desire's not there?
I think it's a little of both. I think he has no first step anymore.
It's done.
It's gone. He can't get past Max Strus, bro! And look, I'm not trying to demean Max Strus. You know, he's one of these dudes that you look at him, you're like, who's that dude? And he actually can ball.
95% of the listening audience has no idea who that person is.
That dude scored 20-something points yesterday. He was like the second leading scorer behind Jimmy Butler. Okay? I mean, but he couldn't get past Max Strus.
Well, what do we expect here? I mean, like, at a certain point, I'm not mad at Harden for this reason. This is how he played for years. High contact, heavy traffic, you know, maneuverability. Not something that we thought was necessarily going to translate to a long-term, you know, sort of, I don't know, longevity in terms of what he was going to be able to apply. It was going to shut down at some point.
Right.
You know, Melo reminds me of the same kind of thing. You know, one of the last American ball hogs.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to shut down at some
point.
Wow,
that would be a great documentary.
It's a great...
The last American
Who wrote
ball
the
hogs.
Story? I'm stealing that headline from somebody who wrote that story. But yeah, you know, Harden was sort of the second coming of exactly what I just said, the last American ball hog. And once you lose it, it's gone.
Yep.
It's over. Embiid clearly could see it with his own face, and that was probably the hardest part to watch.
And let me tell you something. You know, maybe John's on to something. I'll tell you this. And I say this, I know people are not going to believe me when I say this. This is not a conversation I had with Doc Rivers or James Harden yesterday, okay?
Okay.
Despite me being in the building and having communicated with both of them. But what I'm telling you is, I feel like, you know, when you talk to someone about someone else, like I feel like you can tell right away if they love that person or they
sure.
have like if they're really into that person.
I get
For example,
point.
When I talk to Doc Rivers about Tyrese Maxey, he looks like a proud papa talking about Tyrese Maxey. His ear from, you know, smiles ear to ear. Like I love that kid. Like he does not stop talking about him. He's like the favorite son right now.
Passes the vibe check.
When he talks about Harden, and this is on the record, okay? He'll be like, you know, James, you know, he may not be, just like Joel said, hey, you know, he's not like the Houston James anymore, but, you know, he's still an amazing passer. And it's like, okay,
right.
But you're not really talking about him glowingly.
He's a playmaker, like, apparently,
yeah.
these days.
Right. And it's like, there's clearly a disconnect there. And I would say when you talk to James about Doc, he's, you know, he plays it kind of standard, very cliche is what I would say. So I just feel like that thing is headed for divorce, and Daryl Morey is going to be caught in between.
Who's got the biggest offseason hurdle to jump, not named the Lakers? It's got to be the Sixers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, well, they're right up there. They're like the Spider-Man meme right now, those two in some ways, like for sure. All right, coming up next, I do want to get into Chris Paul a little bit because that thing was a disaster yesterday. And he crazy enough, he was 36 like a week ago. And then in like the last 6 days, he turns 37. He looks 37 all of a sudden. I don't understand what's happening there. But I want to get into Chris Paul. And Kyrie Irving said something that I don't think any sports fan wants to hear from their athlete on their favorite team. We'll get to that coming up. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. Now, CY, you're here for Cap Today. In the sequel, do you believe that Kenny Loggins' danger zone has to make an appearance?
Okay, so two things. Number one, when I was on my way to Hollywood Park Casino yesterday, I was driving along, I can't remember the name of the road, but there was a big Top Gun Maverick billboard
right.
that I was looking at on the way there, right before I made that left into there. And second thing, reminder, I'm Clinton Yates, television's Clinton Yates, president of the Handsome Man community, black man from Washington, D.C., born in the 80s. I've never seen Top Gun all the way through.
Wow.
It ain't that great, Clint. I watched it recently.
I believe you. Okay. Again, are there any black people in Top Gun?
No.
There are no black people in Top Gun.
Oh,
but there will be black people in a sequel, I heard.
How about that?
There will be.
I wonder
yes.
why I've never seen it.
I mean, listen. I can respect that.
I'm just saying.
Look, I watched Star Wars growing up, and you know, there were no Latino people. I mean, hell, we didn't even get a Latino person until most recently in Star Wars.
I get that. I'm not.
We were not part of the future, apparently.
First of all, it is a oh, my goodness. George, that's a terrible mistake. In a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago is the point. It's in the past.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
My point is that there's many movies from that era where I'm like, don't know. You know, just didn't watch them. Ferris Bueller, Top Gun.
Oh, that's a good
a million
one, though.
Of them.
Ferris
like,
Bueller,
I,
oh my goodness.
I haven't seen these movies. Sorry, don't know about them.
Ferris Bueller, no?
Never seen that top, you know, front to back. No way.
Right.
No, just bits and pieces.
Sure, I've seen some scenes.
But you get the gist of it.
I get the gist. I know what's going on. But let me tell you something else. I'm seeing Top Gun Maverick in the movie theater.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
I have been convinced by the people in my life that I need to do this. And I'm going to do it for a bit because I have no idea what the first movie is about. We'll see if it stands alone.
Did you guys see Doctor Strange already?
No.
There is a Latina in there.
Okay.
Crossing borders. I'm
yeah.
just saying.
Okay.
All
right.
Well, I mean, look, the Disney, when they did Star Wars, they definitely hooked us up. We got a lot more Latinos in there. Jimmy Smits obviously was
Jimmy
in.
Jimmy Smits had a couple of nice appearances.
Yeah.
Very diplomatic
yeah.
in the vestments, et cetera.
And then who was the guy? The guy's name in Rogue One? What's his name? He's famous.
There's
Latino
a couple. There's,
Diego, right?
Diego Luna. Yes.
Diego Luna.
Diego Luna's
in it.
And Dameron is also Latino. I believe he's Brazilian.
I saw Y Tu Mamá También in the theater for those.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's a hell of a pull by you,
exactly.
Y Tu Mamá También.
You know what I'm saying? Your boy.
It's an excellent movie. Did not see it in the theater.
I
so
did.
Good.
Very,
so
very.
Good.
It was a very weird watch. But, you know, there were other people there. It was, you know, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. But, yes, Star Wars opened the doors, you know, very late, but very timely in terms of manner. Because nowadays, you watch a Star Wars flick, you're like, oh, wow, look at this. Looks like the normal world. I love it.
Apparently, Siobhan Roberts says there is one black person in Top Gun.
Who?
I don't know. She didn't say who, though.
Nobody knows. There. Right. Mystery black.
Nobody
it's a dude
knows.
From Insecure. One of the dudes from Insecure.
Okay.
Oh, she. Oh, but do you think she's referring to the new one or the old one?
The new one. The new one.
Oh, the new one.
The
okay.
new one. All yes, right. yes, right. yes.
Siobhan saw the movie? All right. That's what's up.
Damn.
And also, I've heard, you know, I've seen the reviews about Top Gun 2. Like, they're saying it's better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And by the way, Siobhan is, you know, her maiden name is Roberts. Her new, married name is Monterrosa.
Yes.
So, yes.
Some of us have met the human whose name that name is after.
Yes.
Great guy. Legit.
Yes. Mark Cates has just texted me. Yes, there's a black person in Top Gun. Call sign Sundown. He was awesome.
That's not okay. Sundown is his name?
That's
Are
his,
we serious?
That's his fighter pilot name.
Do we know what Sundown means?
Nope.
Los Angeles, let me explain something to you.
Nope.
Sundown towns are towns where black folks have to get out of town before sundown or else they were legally allowed
okay.
to be lynched. This okay. is not what you want to name people.
Okay.
My goodness, that's not great. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible, but thank you for the update, Case.
Yes.
My
yes.
goodness.
Yes. I'm just telling you. Hey, listen. Talk to the people at the 20th Century Fox or whoever.
Also,
you know
Peter
know I mean?
On our
Sundown
oh, Circle of Trust put
goodness.
That on there, too.
Wow. I'm not blaming anybody for that. I didn't know that. That's, yeah. wow. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So, anyway, Kenny Loggins. Does he make it return? We'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm guessing no. The soundtrack will probably be updated. Or maybe there'll be like some sort of techno version of Kenny Loggins.
An
EDM version.
I'll give you – here's what's going to happen. I'll go to that movie, and I'll give a full review. I'll take notes. I'll buy the soundtrack. I'll do
wow.
all of that. I'll do all
okay.
that. I'll let you people know how much it moves my needle and how much it gets my melanin moving.
Okay.
Before sundown.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So, Chris Paul.
Yes.
He has been really bad the last few
yeah.
games. And it was crazy. The man was 36 years old in 364 days. He was balling. Okay. Turned 37. And the lights have come out, basically. Now, I do think there are a couple things that are being done differently to him when I watch these games, okay?
Okay.
Number one, they are attacking him, okay? Like, Luka is like, oh, no. You guys thought I'm the weak link on defense? Okay, well, Chris may not be a weak link. He's going to try, and he's a better defender than me, but he's way smaller than me. So I'm going to go at him, make him work on defense. That way, he doesn't have the same energy to work on offense. And that, to me, has worked in a lot of ways. That, to me, is the biggest thing that I've noticed in this series. And Chris has had a struggle, basically, as they've gone at him on that end, and he's had to kind of try to hold his own.
This is always the case with Chris Paul, though. And when people get to talking about load management and what things are in terms of guys trying to keep their bodies in shape to get through the playoffs, Chris Paul is the guy that, I mean, I remember this. George, you remember this. When the Rockets had things going, I thought the Rockets were a team, I used to call them the Arugulas back in the day, that could unseat the Warriors. They were that good. Guess what? Chris Paul got injured. And
right. yeah.
injuries are one thing, and I'm not going to sort of put them in the same camp, but there's just something about this point of the season for certain guys that if you can't make it through it, you can't make it through it. And one of the things about Luka that I like a lot is that, sure, he scores a lot of buckets. Sure, he's got an old man game, but he's a big dude. And for him,
oh my God,
to be
he's
able,
a he's humongous.
That. People don't realize how large of a human
no,
he is.
No. To your point, the TV does not do it, it justice.
Doesn't. It
okay?
doesn't. And that's a smart move by the Mavericks, is what I'm saying, is to let him use his size. Josh Allen running the football type of scenario.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Let that guy be a big guy. I think it's working out, and unfortunately, because of the matchup against Paul. It's not working out in their favor. I'm stunned this series is at seven games. Stunned.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of exactly what you're talking about.
Well, and Dallas at home has shot the ball really well,
that's
too.
True.
There's that. And here's the thing. Between Luka defend, and then on offense, when he's on offense, Chris Paul, it's Luka's not defending. It's Reggie Bullock,
yeah.
or Bullock, excuse me, and Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, they're putting their two best defenders on him and Booker. And they're between those two, they're switching between the two. And that's caused problems for Chris on the offensive end because you're talking about two long defenders in his face.
It's something that Monty's going to have to figure out. Like, I don't think that the Chris Paul situation is something you can just wait on and assume it's going to get better. I think you've got to make an adjustment. I'm not sure that I know what it is.
I don't know what it is either. I don't get paid enough to know that either. But this, though, I'm starting to see the mortality of Chris Paul again. And what I'm saying is they were up 2-0 last year in the finals and lost, okay?
Yeah.
And Giannis was crowned, and now Giannis is, you know, once you've won the 16 games, Clinton,
yep.
man, it's just like a superpower. Like, you never feel like you're out of it, okay? You look at what happened to Milwaukee the other night, right? They were down 14 with 6 minutes to go. Do you know the last time that somebody won a game like that, 14 with 6 minutes to go?
Tell
you
me.
Have to go back to the 2006 NBA Finals where Dwayne Wade went supernova on the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
in game three
borderline
of that series.
Different era of the game, yeah.
Right, right. But that's how far back you have to go. So that's my point, is that for Chris Paul, this might be his last best chance, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I believe that anyway. I mean, that to me is not the controversy. To me, the tragedy is it ever going to happen? You know, or how high does he rank on the guys who never got a ring list if he doesn't get one this year or next year or whenever it is he might retire? How high is Chris Paul on that list for you? Is he higher than Barkley? Probably not. But
no, but he's in that category.
He's in that category, man.
Yeah,
he's
like Barkley, Ewing, all those guys that didn't
yeah.
get one because of Jordan, basically.
Right.
Reggie Miller, right? Like, yeah.
Oh. It's too bad. I mean, because yeah. The thing about it is, too, is that also there's a certain cadre of humans who kind of don't like Chris Paul.
Oh,
because
no
of the
question.
Way he plays.
Yeah.
And
there's this
notion that, like, oh, he kind of deserves this. If he wasn't being like that, he'd be able to make it through a season. I don't feel like that about Chris.
No,
I mean, I get it.
I don't
it, But I just, man, I hope he can finish. I don't really care if they win or lose. Obviously, I'm not a Suns fan.
You just wanted to get to wherever the end is.
I wanted to get to wherever the end is. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Kyrie. I didn't get to the Kyrie story. Kyrie is going to infuriate a lot of sports fans, is what I'm going to say, okay? And this is specifically about sports. This isn't about anything else, okay? And then Doc Rivers was trying to get fired yesterday. I am convinced of that. And if you're a Laker fan, if you want him, I still think there's a path. And if you don't want him, you may not want to listen to what I have to say coming up next. We have all that coming up in 2 minutes.